ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago, recording from the world famous Shaar Yashiv Yeshiva in Lawrence, New York. Yes, we had an incredible Project 613 Shabbaton here, taking some fantastic, amazing guys to check out the incredible Jewish community of Lawrence and Far Rockaway. Five towns, incredible experience. And of course, the incredible Shaar program, which is the Olami program attached and part of the famous, world famous Shaar Yashiv Yeshiva, which was one of the major forces in American Judaism when Jews really started percolating in the hippie days of the late 60s and into through the 70s and 80s of trying to figure out what their purpose of life is and what does Judaism have to say about it. And literally thousands have been through these walls and have created faithful, incredible, beautiful Torah homes of their own. Many, many generations. So this is where we are broadcasting live. And due to some incredibly interesting weather, airlines have been, flights have been canceled. And therefore, I am recording here from New York and hope to be back very soon, early Monday morning for an exciting week leading up to Rosh Hashanah. Now, I'll tell you just a little about this Shabbos because it's very applicable for Rosh Hashanah. It is something absolutely incredible to see around the world. If you go to a Torah community, the consistent excellence, and it's not an accident. You see incredible families. You see a community based on Torah values of giving, of sharing, of we're in it with each other. In fact, this last week's Torah portion talked about that we entered into a covenant, Bris Arvus, a covenant that we're all in it together. That this is why we can make blessings for another and say amen, and somehow magically it works, like as if I said a blessing. That there are organizations called Atzala that are a Jewish emergency medical service that helps, by the way, non-Jews as well, but predominantly the Jewish community, look out for each other. Free loans and also it's endless because every Jew has each other's back. That is a Torah principle. And you see it again and again and again. Whenever you visit around the world, different Torah communities, and of course, the children that glow. There's a special shine, especially on Shabbos. You see these beautiful children, they'll be outside playing baseball and doing whatever. There's a certain glow, certain special quality, and it's just amazing to see it again and again wherever I travel around the world. All right, so it was a very powerful weekend and so blessed to have these tools in our arsenal to be able to inspire our Jewish young professionals. All right, so we are holding by the week before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah this coming Friday night. And we have a lot to prepare and a lot to share. What we're going to do is talk about the essence of Rosh Hashanah. And then we are going to make a 1970s or 80s TV reference, which we always like doing. And then we're going to tell two stories, two biographies of people who found their best selves. And I think they're both actually one Israeli, one an American who ended up in Israel. I think you will enjoy those stories at the end. All right, so let's get to it. Drum roll, please, with an exciting question. This coming Rosh Hashanah is what year on the Hebrew Jewish calendar? Okay, give you a second to think about it. Okay, who said 5 is the first digit? Good. Who said 7, the second digit? Even better. And if you got the third digit, 8, I am super impressed. And if you got the final digit, 4, treat yourself to a kosher ice cream cone. Okay, there we go. So this upcoming Rosh Hashanah is 5784. 5,784 years. Now, you will hear over Rosh Hashanah many potential speakers who will say, congratulations on reaching the 5,784th year since the creation of the world. And maybe politely, after services, you can go up to that person and say that actually, I listened to this podcast and, you know, this rabbi, he said to be respectful, but it actually is not from the creation of the world. That is not what 5784 is from. 5784 is the sixth day of creation. It's not from the first day of creation. And therefore, that has huge ramifications in many areas. First of all, the whole classic question of the age of the universe. I know no one is staying up at night, losing sleep over how can we reconcile 5784 with, I don't know, 4 billion years. I don't know what science says today how old the universe is, but it doesn't really matter because 5784 is not from the first day of creation. It's from the sixth day of creation. Why? What is the sixth day? What happened on the sixth day? The sixth day was when the animals were created, the land animals specifically were created, and also Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, that Hashem created their bodies, the midrash, as he mixed the clay together, the earth, and then he breathed his neshama, his spirit, into this lifeless clay and created a human being. Which brings us to the very important principle, and that we cannot stress this enough. We've said this over the years, over the podcast, even recently, that we don't have a soul. We are a soul. We have a body. That is our essence. When you're talking to someone, when you're animated, when you are who you are, that's not a body. That's you. You are your soul. And you have a body that accompanies you. That is the shoe that allows your foot to go into this world. That's the imagery of the Kabbalists. But really imagine this leg. This leg extends way beyond the shoe. Our neshama goes way up underneath the God's throne of glory. Now again, what does that mean? That's Kabbalistic, beyond my pay grade. But basically, our reality is way beyond the body in which we walk around. Okay? But so there we have it. So it is the 5,784 years since the dawn of a human being. And that is very powerful. On the sixth day, Adam was created, and therefore, here is the thesis of this podcast. On the day of Rosh Hashanah, the energy that is being pumped out by the Almighty in the universe is that just as Hashem, God, created Adam on the sixth day of creation, so to each and every Rosh Hashanah, we have the power to recreate ourselves. We have the power to envision our best self and become that, and to decide to become that. It is literally, in the spiritual sense, the conception of the year. We conceive, just like when the sperm and the egg come together, then the zygote fuses, and the DNA is locked in that code right at that moment. And then there's a gestation period of 9 months. We conceive of ourselves, or reconceive of ourselves, on Rosh Hashanah. That's what's happening. That's the greatest golden opportunity, because we have to think big. We have to think of who we can be, what great talents we have to bring to the Jewish people, to the world. And the specific gestation period lasts until Yom Kippur. That's what it means that we're sealed. We're written in the books of life, God willing, on Rosh Hashanah, and it's sealed on Yom Kippur. So these 10 days are the fresh cement, the wet cement that we have to imprint our hands in to make the best image of who we want to be this year. Folks, it's not about just going to services and standing up and sitting down. Will the congregation please rise? You may be seated. I remember as a kid, oh my gosh, the sweetest words that ever were heard. 2,000 people standing up. We didn't know how long the rabbi was going to keep us standing. Will the congregation please rise? Uh-oh. Is this a 15-second one? A 5-second one? Is this a 2-minuter? How long are we going to be standing? You may be seated. And the sigh of 2,000 people exhaling relief that they can finally sit down. That's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. What Rosh Hashanah is about is imagining who we are, what is our best self, and how can we get there. It reminds me very much of the famous series, actually a series and it spun off, right? The Bionic Man and the Bionic Woman. The $6 million man and the Bionic Woman. I don't know. Okay. I know I'm going to get many feedback for that. I think it's a $6 million man and the Bionic Woman. Okay, whatever it was. Anyway, if you don't know the story, you can YouTube it. You can Google it. But way back when, Steve Austin, he actually was an astronaut, not a pilot. Very interesting. And he got in an accident. And the opening of the series says, gentlemen, there's an operating table. We can rebuild him. Better. Stronger. Faster. We have the technology to create the first Bionic Man. Do, 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 do. And there we have it. And they implanted bionic muscles and eyes and legs. He could run incredibly fast. He could see. He had superpowers, basically. Ladies and gentlemen, Rosh Hashanah is our opportunity to become our own bionic man or woman. We have the spiritual broadcast that we need to tap into by listening to the shofar, by celebrating the day, and by doing introspection now, the week before, and on Rosh Hashanah, and the days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to think about who is our best self. What skills did the Almighty give us? What negative traits could we improve? And by the way, I recommend not overwhelming ourselves. Pick one thing that I want to do better. And pick one character trait that I think I can improve. One negative character trait that I think that I can improve. And you focus on one positive to express it in the world. And one negative to change it and improve it. You have recreated yourself. You have justified your existence on planet Earth. That's an unbelievable potential. We should be jumping for joy. People feel stuck nowadays. I talk to young professionals, I'm stuck, I feel this. Rosh Hashanah is the time to blast out of the humdrum of our lives, to become the people that we can become. And it needs some work. It needs work, that's a bottom line. We don't get anything for free. The opportunity is for free because Hashem loves us and He wants us to recreate ourselves. But the price is effort. So between now and Rosh Hashanah and from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, this is what I recommend. I recommend to my students, to myself, who are we? Where are we now? Where are we limited? And where do we want to be? That is the goal of Rosh Hashanah. And I want to share with you now two stories of two people who recreated themselves, absolutely recreated themselves. One of them is incredibly famous. One is not as famous, but it's okay. For me, he's famous. All right. There is an incredibly famous personality in Israel. He died recently, was an incredible man that I had the honor and merit to meet several times and heard speak several times. And his name was Uri Zohar. Uri Zohar was the child of Polish immigrants born in pre-state Palestine, Israel, Palestine at the time. And he was hysterical. He was a creative thinker. He was a comedian and a filmmaker and eventually was the landmark TV show, etc., and a game show host. And he was, you know, I'm dating myself, the Johnny Carson of Israel TV. I guess we would say now the Phil Donahue. Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. Oh, we'd say the Oprah. He was the Oprah of Israeli movies, film, and television. And one day, he appears on the game show with a yarmulke on. Now, you have to understand, Uri Zohar was the symbol of secular Tel Aviv and cool and with it. And for him to put a yarmulke on, like Israel almost crashed. Like a meltdown. In fact, the TV show, he appeared like one more time and the TV show dropped him. They said, no, you can't be on with a yarmulke on. It was the crisis. It was like the general of the secular army had converted. And what he talked about was an amazing thing. He said, I was just gullible. He says, there was this rabbi and he came, he was at this swanky party and the rabbi came and said to us, hey, you know, you want to learn? Just learn. What could be the problem of learning? And he said, I was gullible. He says, everyone else knew what was going to happen. If you start learning Torah, it's fun and it's exciting and it's interesting and it's deep and it's relevant. He said, I was the only one that turned up. And from that study session began a life process of becoming religious and really being the spokesman for Torah Judaism in Israel. May his zichronon levracham, his memory be a blessing. And he took this concept of recreating himself and was a beloved person really by all, both secular and religious, and again, died recently. Zichronon levracham, may his memory be a blessing. So he took this idea of recreating himself and really unbelievable. Okay, second story is as a dear Jew, again, of blessed memory, who died recently, the past year, maybe two, named Paul Laster. Now, Paul Laster was an absolutely incredible Jew from Virginia. He would bust out his southern drawl from Virginia. And as a student at Or Sameach, when I first got there, I saw these very interesting portraits on the wall of Israeli fighter planes. Okay, which is interesting because Or Sameach was not a military academy. We talk about being in the army of Hashem, the army of God, but I mean, that's the next step. And there is these little sign things of, you know, in Hebrew of thank you so much to Rav Bulman Zatzal and to Or Sameach for all the whatever. And it was just weird. I just don't understand what these pictures of Israeli jets were doing all over the yeshiva. And here is the story. After the 1973 Yom Kippur War, there was a tremendous depression in Israel. See, a little bit of history. In 1967 was the Six-Day War, a tremendous, miraculous victory. Israel was the darling of the world. We were going to, after 19 years after the Holocaust, the Arab lands, the Arab leaders were going to push us into the sea. They were preparing public parks for mass graves. Everyone in Israel was depressed and that literally Israel was going to end and cease after 19 years of existence. And miraculously, instead of failure and destruction, a miraculous victory, Israel more than tripled its size in a tremendous victory of the Six-Day War. And many people attributed that to open miracles of Hashem. And that was really the spark of the Baal Tshuva movement in Israel and around the world, that people saw the hand of God and they wanted to connect. But not everyone responded that way. A lot of people responded to, you know, the Israeli army is very strong and God bless all of our Israeli soldiers. But nevertheless, there was a tremendous overconfidence that came that in 1973, Anwar Sadat launched the Yom Kippur War. And it was a brutal war and very humbling for the Israeli army. This sort of bubble of the 6 years crashed, popped very quickly, and a depression came through the ranks, especially of the upper echelon of the Israeli officer corps. And they started a program, and Paul Laster, as a, you know, American immigrant, Israeli immigrant from America, and a secular Zionist, said, he was charged with coming up with a curriculum to inspire these Israeli officers. And he said he went everywhere, went to professors. He went to sociologists, psychologists, psychiatrists, you name it, think tanks. He went everywhere to try and inspire this core of officers to be proud to be an Israeli officer. And nothing worked. And someone suggested him, well, why don't you take him to yeshiva? And everyone's like, no, you can't take him to yeshiva. Don't take him to yeshiva. Don't take him to yeshiva. And he said, hey, nothing else has worked. And he took these officers to yeshiva. And guess what? It was a smashing success. It was unbelievable. They found out why they're fighting, that we're part of a 3,000 plus year chain. And we are fighting for a reason and a purpose. And we are the people of the book. And there was only one problem. The program was too successful. And these officers started becoming religious, observant Jews. And the army canceled the program as quickly as they could. But the quote unquote, the damage was done. And Paul was one of these officers himself who discovered his Jewish roots, who saw the greatness of Torah, who saw the greatness of what God wants from us and how the Torah itself is that vehicle of self-fulfillment and self-development. It is the divine key that Hashem has given us to unlock the secrets to our divine soul. And therefore, Paul continued to raise a beautiful family, ended up teaching for many years at Or Sameach, another yeshiva, Chafetz Chaim. And therefore, you see someone midlife was able to see his best self and use the Torah to unlock it and continue his life for decades, decades later to inspire thousands, literally thousands of Jewish students coming abroad to study in the yeshivas of Israel. So there we are, folks. This is what it's all about. Is using Torah to gain access to our best selves. I wish us all great, tremendous success this year to develop our best selves via the Torah. And that's what we're here for. Ask me, where are the classes, Rabbi? Knock my door down. I want to connect. And may we all be blessed, signed and sealed in the book of life of 5784 for a good and sweet New Year. God bless, and we'll see you, I hope, next week. It's going to be Rosh Hashanah, so we'll see if that Sunday night, if I can pull out a Monday Motivation, we'll do our best for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. God bless.